From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this news update. Only one Alaska business has been approved for an economic injury disaster loan related to the pandemic, and the loan was a big one, $500,000 more than the double the national average. Alaska Public Media's reporter Liz Ruskin has more.
The Small Business Administration is not naming the fortunate Alaska borrower. A public information officer says the name is subject to the Federal Privacy Act. The SBA is still processing loan applications that arrived before the money ran out, so the numbers will grow. Economic injury disaster loans for COVID-19 were part of the $2.2 trillion CARES Act, though Congress put far less money into it than it did the Paycheck Protection Program. The PPP is separate. It provides government-backed loans that can be forgiven if they're spent on payroll and other allowable expenses. But for truly small businesses, the EIDL has a huge selling point. The government is giving applicants up to $10,000. It's called a loan advance, but it never has to be paid back, and an applicant can keep the advance even if the loan isn't approved. More than 1,600 Alaskans got loan advances from EIDL without getting the loans themselves, or at least not yet. The average amount advanced was just $4,600, less than half of the maximum. Now the U.S. Senate has passed a bill to send more money into programs that help small businesses. The bill funds the disaster loans at $60 billion, six times what was in its prior coronavirus relief bill. Nationally, the Paycheck Protection Program has faced criticism because some banks seem to prioritize major national chains. For the EIDL, applicants apply on the Small Business Administration's website directly, with no bank involved. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And now to Juneau, where some assistance is on its way for Juneau residents struggling to pay rent amid the coronavirus outbreak. The Juneau Assembly has set aside $200,000 from the city's Affordable Housing Fund as a relief for residents who have been laid off or unable to work due to COVID-19. But it wasn't a unanimous decision. Assemblymember Lauren Jones voted against it, saying he felt it did too little and was a bad piece of legislation. Several other assembly members said they were disappointed it had taken so long for the assembly to pass some form of rental assistance, especially given how quickly it approved $3 million in emergency funding for local small businesses. The funds will be distributed through the Juneau Community Foundation to the Alaska Housing Development Corporation, which runs several low-income housing complexes in town. Applicants will need to demonstrate that they are within a certain income bracket and prove that they are unable to pay rent as a result of COVID-19 impacts. Executive Director Tamara Rowcroft says details are still being worked out by the city, and it will take about a week before they can start accepting applications from renters. And state health mandates technically carry the force of law. Some of them outline penalties for violations. Breaking a state-mandated quarantine, for example, could mean a fine of $25,000. But as Eric Stone reports from Alaska's Energy Desk, when someone violates them, enforcement can get murky.
Thorne Bay is a city of about 500 people on Prince of Wales Island. The nearby city of Craig has seen two residents test positive for coronavirus, and concerns about the spread of the virus have residents on edge. But officials in Thorne Bay say they're having trouble enforcing state and local emergency orders requiring that most out-of-state travelers quarantine for 14 days upon arrival. Acting City Administrator Terry Feibel says a man recently flew his private plane from Washington State to the island's airstrip. She says he then tried to board a boat tied up in Thorne Bay's harbor. But Feibel says he hadn't filled out a state-mandated declaration form outlining his travel history and his intended quarantine location.
We notified him of the requirement, and he refused to fill out any paperwork, didn't feel it applied to him, and was very upset.
Unable to access his boat, the man left the harbor, but he returned the following day while Harbormaster Ron Wendell was at the city office.
He showed up here in town and proceeded to take groceries, a couple cartloads of groceries, down the dock to his boat.
Wendell says he reported the apparent violation of state and local orders to law enforcement. Thorne Bay doesn't have its own police force. They rely on state troopers and a village public safety officer. But Wendell says state troopers weren't much help.
They explained to me at that point in time that they could not help us at all because this is a state mandate, not a state law, And because it was not a law, there was nothing that they could do.
For his part, 77-year-old Paul Lewis says he's doing his best to comply with state and local health restrictions. He says he left Washington for Alaska in order to protect his wife.
First of all, this is a life or death decision for me. My wife is 75 years old, and she has a very low immune system. And the doctors told her if she got the virus, it would kill her for sure. So I decided to come up here to cut the chance of her being infected by 50%.
He says he's lived on his 32-foot boat in Thorne Bay's harbor seasonally for the past 3 years. And that's where he intended to write out his mandatory 2-week quarantine. And Lewis says that's exactly what he's doing. He says he was unaware that state and local authorities required travelers to fill out a declaration. But that statement from a local state trooper that troopers can't enforce mandates troubled the two Thorne Bay officials. And it's led to questions about how state law enforcement can ensure compliance with health mandates. Acting Administrator Feibel asked the town's state representative, Jonathan Christ Tompkins, for help. Troopers say they're focusing their energy on encouraging Alaskans to voluntarily comply with the mandates. But Christ Tompkins says it's not clear what tools state troopers can use when faced with someone who won't abide by the rules.
My sense from the Department of Public Safety is that things are being figured out how to deal with sort of bad apples.
At this point, state leadership says criminal charges aren't the answer.
We've done a tremendous job without having to order Alaskans around.
That's Governor Mike Dunleavy speaking to reporters on Thursday.
The idea that we're going to use a heavy hand on Alaskans, we never talked about doing that. We don't want to do that.
And Dunleavy says he's pleased with the level of compliance so far. But Christ Tompkins says state and municipal law enforcement agencies need to figure out what to do when simply encouraging people to follow the law doesn't work.
If, politely but firmly asked at first to stop and then it persists and then what's step two and then when do you really, bring down the hammer?
He says lax enforcement threatens to undercut compliance on a broader scale. In other words, if people see their neighbors breaking mandatory quarantines or gathering in groups,
it sort of weakens the degree to which others abide by those same rules.
For now, though, it's not clear how or if state authorities will compel Alaskans to follow the rules. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Eric Stone in Ketchikan.
And for the first time ever, the price of key U.S. oil benchmark went negative. The price of West Texas Intermediate crude fell far below zero on Monday, reaching almost negative $40 a barrel. That effectively means sellers must pay that much to have someone take the crude off their hands. Monday's rapid price crash is linked to the intricacies of the futures market. And while oil prices have fallen in recent weeks, observers of Alaska's oil industry describe Monday's decline as particularly staggering. The State Department of Revenue's chief economist, Dan Stickle, says it underscores the volatility in prices as the coronavirus pandemic crushes demand and storage capacity dwindles. He says it's unprecedented.
There's an extreme oversupply and an extreme curtailment of demand, and it's led to significant volatility in pricing.
But he cautioned that Monday's negative prices may not heavily impact Alaska's oil producers, who sell most, if not all, of their crude farther in advance. BP and Exxon also have their own refineries.
They've already firmed up their May plans, and they're saying, okay, where are we going to sell our oil production in June?
The oil price free fall on Monday is nuanced and has to do with a specific contract for a specific supply of oil. Contracts for the May delivery of West Texas Intermediate crude expires on Tuesday, and traders are desperate to find buyers. As of Friday, a barrel of the Alaska crude was valued at just above $15, the lowest in more than 18 years. And Governor Mike Dunleavy says Alaskans soon could be making appointments at barbershops and nail salons again, as the state looks to further reopen parts of the economy shut down or restricted over coronavirus concerns. Dunleavy says details are expected later this week. Other areas that he says are being looked into are restaurants and retail shops. He says the state feels pretty good about its case numbers, as well as its healthcare capacity, equipment, and ability to track the cases. The state has reported at least 321 cases of COVID-19, with 161 of those cases recovered. And taking a quick look at the weather for the rest of tonight, rain is expected in lows around 40. For Wednesday, periods of rain and lows around 40. And for Thursday, rain again, highs around 50. You're listening to KTOO. For more news and information, you can visit our website, That's ktoo.org.